You're back. How do you like Pure Michigan? And be thankful that we're not on the shores of Lake Michigan or the eastern shores of Lake Erie. I don't know if you've been following the weather forecast or not, but one place was getting 3 inches of snow an hour. And it was lake effect snow. So that that one is one that I've only experienced that once, and it led to an off-road experience, and I was pleased that it happened in Michigan's Upper Peninsula because an old farmer went by in his pickup truck with a chain and pulled us out of the ditch. So I gave him $20 and he said thank you, and then we made the rest of our trip. Now, before we continue on, I want to take just a moment. I'm really proud that we had three people, okay, who did lay servant training. And I gave the certificates to two of the three the last time we were together. And the last one is Sheila. Thank you. Okay. Who did the worship workshop? What did you learn?
There was a whole lot about worship I didn't know.
Okay, that's fair. That says that the person who led the workshop knew what they were about. Alice is somebody I want to sit down and have a very long conversation with. Alice is the pastor at Adrian First Church, and she led the worship session of the lay ministry training. The other thing that I'm particularly proud about is you all hosted two classes. Okay? Two classes. And, you know, some folk might say, okay, Mike, what's the deal? Well, the deal is this. Hosting those events connected you with the total outreach and ministry of the Heritage District. Okay? There were some 20 people that came to those training sessions. Okay. Y'all made a good impression on them. Please keep that up. I'm going to shut up rather than completely destroy the order of worship this morning.
Are we having music for choral? No? Okay. All righty. So we'll just get things rolling here. If you would stand, if you're able, and join me in the call to worship. Lead us, O God, from the sight of the lovely things of this world to thoughts of you who has caused both them and us to be. Enable us to move from delight in what you have made
to delight in your presence here with you. Us.
You are the maker of all that is true and beautiful and good. You are our maker. We praise you. And please join me for hymn number 110. Take a moment and celebrate your peace. Reach out.
Peace.
Yes, celebrate
peace.
Peace.
Thank you.
It's a good thing that you're not any rowdier than you are. We'll go double time. Okay. Peace be with you.
This is what happens when you make us go 2 weeks without seeing each other.
I know. It's one of those things that you don't realize until you don't have it, how much you miss it. As we go to prayer this morning, there are a number of folk for us to remember, some of whom are part of our congregation, and part of them are not directly connected with the congregation. I'm going to start with a praise. I love it to be able to read this. Praise our gracious Lord, baby William has won the battle against RSV. He's off all oxygen and hopefully coming home today. And we're not happy, are we, Sheila? And one of the things that we're going to do is we're going to send William a prayer quilt to surround him during his recovery, okay? So before we're done this morning, take just a moment for laying on of hands. Okay. I'm going to be afraid of this name. Robin's dad. Is it Seville? I'm wanting to turn it into Spanish. Anyway, Robin's dad is recovering from heart surgery on Thursday, and Robin will be attending his brother's funeral tomorrow. Am I reading that right? Her uncle's. Oh, goodness. So prayers for the family. Jenny Clark has moved to hospice, so keep her in your prayers. Mark Williams, okay, Diana's brother-in-law, has been placed into hospice. Prayers for him and extended family. That is a double grief situation because Mark's wife just died suddenly. And then please remember Lila Sorter. She is in assisted living, but I know because of my experience that when people start to fall, they get watched and the concern level raises. Yes, Kim.
In prayers for my family, my Aunt Connie passed away this weekend. Her funeral is going to be Wednesday. Okay. I know this is hitting my cousin really hard. Now she's the last one of her family.
Oh, my.
So Connie Greenfield Grant.
Okay.
They were longtime members at the UCC church.
Okay.
She's been in nursing home for like the last 5 years with dementia. So it is a blessing, but it's still hard on her.
It's still hard to say goodbye. Yeah. You know, actually, Kim, the way my mom put it as she was in her final process is, this isn't goodbye, it's till we see each other again. Mm-hmm. If you would take a moment, okay, to look at the prayer requests that are listed in the bulletin insert. Okay. Many people that are either about to have surgery or who are recovering from surgery continue to remember Roger. Okay? And remember Carl. Okay? Good question. Is he home? Okay. Yeah. Medical. Okay.
Also, I spoke to all of our agape friends.
That's it.
If I talk about Adobe, you know, I've got it all wrong. Agape friends. And they all seem to be doing well, and thank all of you for their prayers and for thinking of them.
Amen. One of the things that's been going on has been a subtle change. Rather than talking about people being shut in, we're making the effort to start talking about them as having a place in our hearts. And so we're using agape friends now, okay? Let us remember the entire world. Let's remember our nation. Let's remember our local community. There's so much going on in so many places that's hard to deal with. One of the things that weighs heavily for me is wherever there's violence, doesn't make any difference who's causing it, but wherever there's violence, the women and the children tend to be the ones that suffer the most. Let us pray. Our blessed Jesus, what can we say? Our Creator God has made us free, and we've made such a mess of so much. We thank you, Jesus, that you came to show us how to clean up our act. You came to bring us the good news message that God loves us, that God's waiting for us to come home. You came to us to open the door to our Father's house. You came to show us the way there. We pray that we would follow you. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that we would do much better at how we treat each other and how we treat all of your creation. Oh Lord, there's so much going on that we don't understand. Some of it's politics, some of it's economics, some of it's culture, some of it's religion. We know that you understand. And so we come to you for comfort and guidance. We ask your special touch on those, oh Lord, we've mentioned this morning. We ask that you would give them healing. We ask that you would give them strength. We ask that you would give them comfort, especially those, oh Lord, who are in the process of coming to be with you. Oh Lord, we often forget that the most powerful thing that we can do is pray. Hear us now, we ask, especially as we join our voices together in the words you taught us to say. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Could we take a moment to listen to God in silence? For God speaks in turn during prayer. Amen.
All right, if you would like to stand, and we will say our a collect for Christian unity. Our God,
who gave to us
our Lord Jesus, the Christ, our only Savior, the Prince of Peace, give us grace to recognize the great dangers we are in by our unhappy divisions. Take away all hatred and prejudice and whatever else may hinder us from godly union and cooperation in building your kingdom. That as there is but one body and one spirit and one hope of our calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God who is the creator of us all. So may we all be of one heart and of one soul, united in one holy bond of truth and peace, of faith and charity. With one mind and one mouth, may we voice the good news of the kingdom and the glory of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
You may be seated.
The children?
Boy, things get messed up when your pianist isn't here. Would the children come, please? Jesus loves me. I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Please remind me that this is Noisy Offering Sunday and that I'm going to need some help, okay? Pardon?
It's Noisy Offering
Sunday. It's Noisy Offering Sunday. Okay. Yeah, cool. Yeah. Do you have something that reminds you of something that you've done that was either a lot of fun or something that you don't want to forget that you did? Yes? Pardon? Okay. Do you mind sharing what it is? A backpack? Cool. And it's something that's special to you, right? And it helps you remember something, okay? It helps us, okay, if we have things and keep things that help our memory. Now, I have something, okay? Actually, I have lots of somethings, okay? But, yes, my wedding ring is on here. My wedding ring is on here because I can't put it on my ring finger. Did I ever tell you about the dog that tried to rip my finger off? Okay. See this? Okay. It's a special kind of cross. Okay. Yeah. Okay. It's a special kind of cross. And not only is it a special kind of cross, okay, but it has special meaning. For almost at least 1,500 years, which is a long time, okay, people who made a trip to visit Jerusalem, after they made the trip, would wear a cross like this. Okay? Another name for it is a pilgrim's cross. It's important to me because my wife and I had the chance to visit Jerusalem. That's a trip that I hope that all of you will be able to make sometime in your life. The trip helped me because, you know, we talk about the Bible a lot and we read from the Bible and we do studies about the Bible, but it's hard to picture where Jesus grew up, where he lived, where he taught. And to go there, and even though it's almost 2,000 years later, to see those places helped make what I'd read in the Bible more real. Bethlehem is a real place. Okay? The street that Jesus walked on when he saw Zacchaeus up in the tree is still there. This helps me remember important things about what I believe and about Jesus. We try to help you know things about Jesus, how much Jesus loves you, what Jesus does for us, for you. Find something that helps you remember that. Okay? Something that helps you remember that. Because they become helpful when you're afraid, when you don't know what to do, when you're worried. Reminds you you're not alone because Jesus is always with you. Okay? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that you are always with us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you use little things to remind us that you are here. Continue to remind us. And, oh Lord, help us to share with others reminders that they are not alone because you are with them. They are loved because you love them. Hear our prayer. Amen. Now, noisy offering. It's going to take at least four of you. So, whoop. There you go. Oh, we have a second blanket? Okay. Okay. Thank you. You make it, Dave. Dave is one of the big people that truly understands the moments with the children. Oh. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear David. Happy birthday to you. And many more. Oh, you're gonna give me the hand that David usually does. Generally, I tell him no, but that was pre-surgery, Dave. No. Yeah. It's a lot. Well, it's awful quiet. Let's make some noise. Oh, we've got another bucket coming. Make some noise. Yeah. Woo! Woo! Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Thank you so much. Learn lots in Sunday school. Our Lord Jesus, you've given us so many gifts. We are blessed, O Lord, beyond our own imagination so much of the time. So often we forget to simply thank you. Thank you now and take these gifts, O Lord, from the gift that you've given us and use them for the glory of your kingdom. Hear our prayer. Amen. As we do our transition time, you'll notice that there's two blankets up here now. One is for Daphne, who is also suffering from RSV. Okay, so we have two blankets. Okay, we have two blankets. Shall I introduce this, seeing as I'm already up here and yapping? No, it's okay.
I jumped ahead a little.
It's all right. Our hymn is 368, My Hope is Built. Beautifully sung. You may be seated. Our scripture focus for this morning is Luke's gospel. No, it's not. It's Mark's. Forgive me. I'll get it straight.
We'll get it together by the end, right?
One way or another, we'll get to the end. Okay. And we're looking at chapter 7, okay, and we're going to look specifically at verses 31 through 37. Then he, Jesus, returned from the region of Tyre and went by way of Sidon towards the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis. And they brought to Jesus a deaf man who had an impediment in speech, and they begged Jesus to lay his hand on him. Jesus took him aside in private, away from the crowd, put his fingers into his ears, spat, and touched his tongue. Then looking up to heaven, Jesus sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And immediately his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. Then Jesus ordered them all to tell no one, but the more Jesus ordered them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. They were astounded beyond measure, saying, He's done everything well. He even makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Your homework is to read the entire Gospel of Mark. No, it's not. It's the shortest of the Gospels. Now, it's hard for me to know where to start. Okay. Because this text is very different. Okay. Now, imagine that I came up to you and I said, I understand that you need healing. Okay. Come over here with me. All right. Come over here with me. And I'll do what it takes to heal you. Then I honk her in my hand, rub my fingers in it, and touch your ears and your tongue, which were what needed healing. Gee, Shirley. The commentary from over here was, I don't think so. Okay, I just read it to you. It's in there. Okay, it's what Jesus did. Ooh, he's using spit. You want the Phyllis? I know. Okay, but you and I have two millennia of knowing who Jesus is. Okay? This poor deaf and dumb man was clueless.
But he was glad.
He was glad. He was glad. Okay? He was glad. All right? We face lots of things with basic misunderstandings. Okay, we have certain expectations of what things are going to look like. Now, I know that Sue didn't expect she'd have to go through everything that she's gone through to experiencing the healing that she's had. Okay. Did I ever tell you that I've had open heart surgery? But we have these misunderstandings. And because we have misunderstandings, we limit what God can do, what Jesus can do for us. We frequently misunderstand ourselves and each other. Particularly, we misunderstand God. And among the contributors to our misunderstandings are these. We tend to be either partially or totally deaf to both ourselves and to others literally, emotionally, or spiritually. That's just on the hearing side. Had a lovely but difficult conversation this morning about someone's inability to hear. Now, on the other side, on the speaking side, sending messages, we are often afflicted with impediments that get in the way of our communicating with others. We just find it so hard to make others understand what we want to express either in our words or our actions. Okay? There are times when my wife thinks that she knows what I said. But it is really obvious that she didn't know what I meant. Now, I hope you realize I just flipped that. Okay? There are times when she knows what she said, but she can't understand how I got that out of it that I came up with. We move through our lives being and feeling misunderstood. We move through our lives taking impartial messages from God and everybody that we just don't get. You ever make a list of people you don't understand? We send out messages that other people don't get. We end up frustrated with ourselves and with other people, and they end up frustrated with us. I can't understand. I'm always clear to you people. Everything is precise. I never make any mistakes. You know that it ain't true if you read the bulletin this morning. I found four and three of them tripped all of us up. At our worst, out of our frustrations and our deafness and our communications problems have come the occasions for us to hurt ourselves, to hurt others, or do both. We all too easily make our own lives and the lives of others very miserable and full of pain. The roots of all this mess go very deep into our human nature. It comes from our fallenness that is described so powerfully in Genesis through what happened to Adam and Eve. This is not something we can handle all by ourselves. It is something that we have to meet with Jesus to get straight, because it takes a change and healing in the way we are as human beings that we simply cannot do by ourselves. It is something that we have to let Jesus take care of in Jesus' own way. People will ask me, Mike, why should I bother going to church? People there are worse than me. Why should I bother showing up? Oh, to be able to have fun like that. Why should I go to church? We can't do it by ourselves. Right on, Lisa. Right on. We can't do it by ourselves. Okay? I often ask you, is Jesus here or not? Okay? The other question that's equally important is Jesus here or not? And if Jesus is here, are we paying attention? The scripture for today can teach us many things. Most importantly, it can teach us that Jesus has to be the one to touch us and make us right. Mark's gospel is the one that makes most clear the way Jesus lived here on earth. We don't spend too much time on that because we tend to focus on Jesus being the Son of God. Mark makes it clear that Jesus was homeless. He carried everything he owned with him wherever he went. His family misunderstood him. Lots of people thought he was crazy, and the people in power thought he was some kind of outlaw or political renegade. It's in there. Read it. Most of his ministry years, Jesus kept on the move because people either threatened his life or wanted to throw him in jail because they didn't like the way he lived, what he did, or the things he said. Jesus had all kinds of good excuses for being paranoid, because people were out to get him. Some people did believe Jesus. They heard about him. They sought him out. They wanted to know what he knew about God and God's kingdom. They wanted what he had of the blessings of the kingdom of God. And Jesus somehow touched them physically, mentally, or spiritually, and their lives were changed deeply, forever, for the better. Some people had a friend who was deaf and couldn't speak plain enough to be understood. We don't have any details about how long the man had been this way. In those days, such a physical condition was considered to be untreatable by medicine. The man might have felt himself doomed to be that way all his livelong days. Those people have heard about Jesus and the gospel he both preached and lived. The core of Jesus' gospel was and is the way things and people are is not the way they have to stay. It is God's will and God's plan that things and people change for the better so that everything and everyone on earth becomes like everything and everyone in the kingdom of God. These folk had heard about how Jesus' touch made people right, healed them on the spot. So they took their friend to Jesus and begged him to help their friend. Jesus decided to help this poor man. He took him away from the crowd. He got him off alone. Then Jesus did some things that seem very strange to us moderns, so strange that we might say, "I don't think so. No way." Jesus stuck his fingers in the man's ears. Then he put some of his own spit on the man's tongue. Jesus sighed, looked up into heaven, and said to the man, "Open." And suddenly, the man could both hear and speak clearly. In that moment, the kingdom of God touched that man. For him, all the good, all the blessings of the kingdom of God touched his life and changed him forever for better. Things could never go back the way they were. Now, Lisa, let me stick my fingers in your ears. Is Jesus doing the equivalent of that to us? Something we don't expect? That it's hard for us to say yes to? Or the equivalent of spitting in his hand and saying, "Let me touch your tongue." Now, Jesus did another thing that was unexpected, unlikely. Jesus said, "Don't tell anyone." Okay, maybe I should be more like Jesus. And, you know, you look on your bulletin and you'll see, "Be sure to tell someone something good about our church this week." Maybe I should be more like Jesus and say, "Don't say anything. Just keep it to yourself." And what did the people that Jesus told to not tell anyone do? You got it. They wrote it down and now we're reading it and you're afflicted with the preacher. Okay? They didn't listen to Jesus. They told anyone and everyone who would listen. People were amazed at the change in the man's life and amazed at the story. And then people started saying, look at the great stuff this guy does, everything he does. He even makes deaf people hear and speechless people talk. This is more than simply a good story. It tells us how the kingdom of God works and how the hand of Jesus can touch us and make us right, right now. The most important part of all this isn't how we are now. The good news, the gospel, is that because of Jesus, the Son of God, things don't have to stay the way they are now. The most important part is Jesus and how Jesus can change us for the better, even with a little bit of God's kingdom. So what will it take us to get us to Jesus? Will we let our lives get so bad that we believe we don't have any other choice? Is it either Jesus or die right now? A friend of mine did that. This isn't just a story. A friend of mine did that. He's a radio host in Toledo. And basically what happened was his job just disappeared because the owners of the radio station sold it, and the new owners didn't want this person on the air anymore. So this person went home, got the rifle that his dad had given him when he was 14 years old, sat in a chair, and was about ready to blow his brains out. This was a person who was capable of doing exactly that. He'd survived Vietnam. He could do what he decided to do. And he said, Mike, I don't know all the details, but I found myself on my knees and saying, God, if you can use me, if you can save me, do it. And God did. This friend of mine went to Jesus for forgiveness and healing. Jesus is generous. Will we go to him on our own? Will our friends have to take us? The first step is getting to Jesus. Then we need to talk to Jesus as best we can. Tell him openly and honestly what's going on with us. Tell him this is something we know only he can take care of. We've tried it on our own and we've blown it. And that we believe that he can do what we need done to change our lives from the deepest inside part out. And to forgive us and to heal us. The next step is letting Jesus get alone with us to do his thing. We have to get away from the crowd that tries to tell us or tell Jesus how to do what he needs done. It's not for us or anyone else to tell Jesus how to touch our lives with the kingdom of God and change us for the better. That was part that wasn't said this morning, Diana. It's not for us or anyone else to say, you can't go sticking your fingers in anybody's ears. And, oh, he's using spit. We have to let Jesus get us alone so Jesus can do whatever it takes to work the miracle of change for better in our lives. What will it take for us to get alone with Jesus? What will it take for us to let Jesus do whatever has to be done to forgive us and heal us, to change us into who God wants us to be? And finally, will we keep what Jesus has done in our lives to ourselves? You see, the story is never about us or about how we've changed. The story is always about Jesus and how wonderfully he has done everything. Talking about ourselves is a mistake. Talking about Jesus and what Jesus has done is absolutely amazing. What will it take? Amen? Thank you. Now, I know that one was probably hard for you because it was hard for me. Thank God we have Blessed Assurance 369. If you're able, would you stand?
Now, if you'll join me in reciting the benediction. Let us go, knowing that we are continually loved and charged with the task of loving others. Let us leave here changed for good, sustained by God's love, directed by this time of worship and celebration, and energized for a life of Christian service. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
I have a number of announcements, so if you'll bear with me here. Men's ties, we're looking for some used ones that you don't want anymore. The Emmaus group is going to do a little project for the upcoming Emmaus walk. So if you could help us with those, please bring them in at any time. We are going to be packing this Wednesday more blessing bags at 10 a.m. If you'd like to come and help with that, please join us for that. Anyone who is interested in acolyte or usher training in February, please let Sheila know if you are interested in that. We have a flyer also for summer camps are starting to open up for registration. We've ordered some more of these forms, so we'll leave this one out in the narthex somewhere, so or on the table maybe in the gym, and then if you're interested, you can take a look at that. Pledge sheets, we're also looking for those to be turned in. If you need an extra copy, they're sitting out here on the table just outside the double doors. That would be for this year, same thing that we did last year. And there's some extra cards, like greeting cards, sitting on the table also in the gym. Please help yourself to those. Those are kind of specific to people that we probably wouldn't be able to use here. So help yourself if you can use one of those. Did you have another, some more announcements, Linda?
Real quick, we're going to have an AED training at 1 o'clock. It will be in the parlor across from the office. If you would like to participate in that, we would love to have you. Thank you.
Okay, one more from me. February 3rd, that's the first Saturday in February, I'm looking for at least four people to join me from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. The focus will be first viewing the Jesus Revolution, and then talking the rest of our time together about what that would mean at Clinton Church today. Okay, so that's February 3rd, okay, 9 o'clock. And if you would let me know that you are coming, it would be most appreciated. Because I'll buy you breakfast, okay? So do keep that in mind. And please join us for coffee and goodies. I saw people bringing stuff and setting them out for coffee hour, so please join us.
Jessica has an announcement for us.
I was just going to add on to the camps. If anybody has questions, I've gone to Gary Lincoln.
Thank you for making that offer.
Thank you. Guess that's it.
That's it.
That's it.